It was goals galore across Europe as the round of 16 ties reached their conclusion. No fewer than 23 goals across four matches as Bayern, Liverpool and Barcelona emphatically secured their spots in the last eight. And Atleti will join them after they made it past Tottenham despite losing this evening in North London. We'll review all the action next and look ahead to the quarterfinals of this season's UEFA Champions League. Hello, I'm Natalie Sawyer and welcome to the show after another huge night in the UEFA Champions League. To confirm Wednesday night's results in the round of 16 second legs, Liverpool won 4-0 against Galatasaray to win the tie 4-1 on aggregate. Barcelona were 7-2 winners over Newcastle as they won 8-3 on aggregate. 10-2 was the aggregate score for Bayern as they were 4-1 winners over Atalanta this evening. And Tottenham won 3-2 against Atleti, but the Spanish side won the tie 7-5 on aggregate. Delighted to be joined by European football expert Kevin Hatchard, as well as commentator Richard Connolly. And yet again, another fantastic evening, Richard.
It was a terrific evening, and at Anfield, Liverpool really did come to the party. I mean, a second half in particular that will live long in the memory, and they do have memories of some wonderful European nights. But in the context of this season, I think for the Liverpool club as a whole, this was uplifting, and their second half display in particular was of the highest class.
Bayern really caught my eye because it would have been very easy, 6-1 up from the first leg, to take it easy, to try and play it in second gear. No, none of that. Kept on going, scored a load of goals again. And that's what Vincent Kompany is all about. He constantly says to them, I want more, I want more wins, more goals, better performances. And that's what we're starting to see from them. They're a serious team.
We will look into them a little bit later on, but we're going to start in Liverpool, where Galatasaray were in town looking to defend their 1-0 lead from the first leg and reach a UEFA Champions League quarter-final for the first time in 13 years. Kevin and Richard were watching for Matchday Live.
Alexis McAllister already pink in the cheek from the opening 25 minutes. He's going to whip this corner in from the right-hand side. He goes low. It's beautifully worked! It's a wonderful goal! Szoboszlai side-footing the ball home from the edge of the box.
We said set plays would be important, and that's one that's come straight off the training grounds.
Frimpong's been found by Liverpool. Switch of play. He's got a lot of space. Can he find a telling ball? He couldn't. Again, he... Whoa, Szoboszlai went for the ball there as it was loose. Seemed to nick it before the defender, and the referee agrees. He's pointed to the penalty spot. It's Salah from the spot for Liverpool. Here he comes, and it's a save by Cechia, who moved to his left and cleared with his feet. It's a good save from the Galatasaray goalkeeper, and he keeps this tie in the balance. Everything to play for at Anfield. Liverpool still threatened. Salah, early ball in, beautifully teed up for Ekitike. And Liverpool lead in the tie for the first time. Salah making amends for the penalty miss with a beautiful setup for Ekitike, who lifts the Egyptian high into the air.
First time ball across with the right foot, begging to be attacked, and there's Ekitike, and Cechia can't stop that one. It's a lovely side-footed finish.
Liverpool are going again, flick through, Salah drives it, saved by Cechia, back out, Gravenberg, it's there! Liverpool with two goals in a minute to take charge of this tie! Szoboszlai to Wirtz on the edge, now Salah, left corner of the box, this is Salah territory, gets it back from Wirtz, curls it! It's a beauty from Mohamed Salah, a fourth goal that sees Liverpool setting sail for the quarterfinals again.
And how many times have we seen this down the years? Just a beautiful curled effort beyond the dive of the goalkeeper.
It certainly was a terrific evening then for Liverpool, who trailed from that first leg but went on to win the tie 4-0 on the night, 4-1 on aggregate. And Kevin, it felt like this was a Liverpool performance of old.
Yeah, I think the first goal was always going to be really important. And I thought Galatasaray actually, first 20 minutes or so, did well. I thought they kept them at arm's length. Cechia wasn't that busy in the opening exchanges. But set plays were really important. last week we saw, you know, lots of chances from set plays. The goal for Galatasaray last week came from set play. And the way Liverpool worked, it was outstanding, because everybody's eyes are drawn towards Van Dijk and Konate, because we know how strong they are, you know, attacking the ball in the air. And McAllister plays a perfectly weighted ball to Szoboszlai. And what Szoboszlai does that's smart is he delays the run. He kind of hovers on the edge of the D and only makes the run when it's the right time to do so. It's a little bit of smart blocking, nothing illegal, but just smart blocking that means Galatasaray can't get out to it. And then Szoboszlai, considering it's his weaker, in inverted commas, left foot, guides it delightfully into that bottom corner. And that was the, that lit the blue touch paper, really. That was got what got Liverpool going. Because if Galatasaray had scored the first goal tonight, that would have been very different.
As it was, 1-0 they led at the break, and then saw what happened. A very, very quick fire three goals that they scored in the second half, Richard. And I think what will be really pleasing for Arne Slot will also be the fact that all of his attacking players really got involved.
They did, yeah. And it's interesting, you said it felt like an old-school Liverpool performance. There were real echoes of the past, I thought. The goal from the corner brought back the mind of the Liverpool 4-Barcelona nil game, when they got the goal from the quick corner taken by Alexander-Arnold, and Origi was there. Different type of corner, but same kind of feel. In the second half, Salah curling the ball in from the right corner of the box with the left foot into the top corner. Well, that's a throwback. We've seen that hundreds of times down the years. But then there were other times where it felt like this was a new Liverpool attack developing. The quickness of feet of Wirtz and of Ekitike, the quickness of the ball through from McAllister, the players trying to combine in new ways and build new relationships. Salah working out his role in that, as Ekitike and Wirtz looked to combine down the left to good effect quite a lot of the time, and Salah was coming into central areas. The way Wirtz uses his quickness of foot and his quickness of thought to unpick a defence, rather than high energy pressing like we might have seen from Sadio Mane in the past, or Luis Diaz in the recent past. It's a different style of attacker. And you can see that when it comes together, it'll be a new feeling at Anfield. It's a new forward line, but they are starting to make those connections. That's what we saw tonight.
Mm. I think that's the exciting thing for Liverpool fans. It is that sense of transition. It is that sense of those new guys settling down. I thought Frimpong, you know, quietly had a very effective game on that right-hand side. He's been in and out with some muscle injuries, which he hasn't had before, so he's had to get used to that. But I thought he was very effective on that right-hand side. What that allows is it allows Salah to effectively play as a striker.
What was said at half-time, that would be nice to know, because they were under pressure. Slot was under pressure in the first half. He looked like a man for whom this meant the world, quite understandably. And then in the second half, the three goals went in, and he looked like a different person altogether. A far nicer person, I think, after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we've been talking about how great they were in the second half. Let's actually hear from one of the goal scorers from the game, Hugo Ekitike, who pinpointed the importance of that second 45.
We missed three chances at the end of the first half. So even me, when I sat on in the locker room at halftime, I was thinking like we need to kill this game. So I had my chance. I could score more tonight, to be honest. But yeah, I had my chance, and then I think we felt more free. And yeah, Ryan scored straight away. And yeah, I think it helped the team. Everybody did a great job, ran for each other, and that's why we won tonight.
Yeah, a great second half performance then from Liverpool. And we should also mention that Mo Salah scored his 50th Champions League goal in this game, and he's become the first African player to achieve that feat. But a word, Kevin, on Galatasaray and their Champions League season.
Yeah, we mentioned in commentary, I think you have to look at it in the whole, and you have to look at the big picture with this. And Galatasaray have won the Turkish Super League in each of the last three seasons. They're well placed to do it again. So then you think, okay, so you have that domestic dominance. What's the next step? And what we've seen this season is exactly that. It's the next step, because they've come out of the league phase. That's a big tick. They've knocked out Juventus in the playoff round. That's a huge tick, because they were actually coming into some form, Juventus, under Spalletti. So that's a phenomenal result. They've beaten Liverpool twice in the same season. So that's very impressive too. But this is the highest level of football that there is, and it is tough. So you learn lessons, and it's a long-term thing. So they will come away from this disappointed that they haven't gone through, but they'll have learned a lot from it.
And they had bad luck tonight.
Yeah.
Osimhen got a very innocuous but painful-looking injury to the right forearm early in the match, which reduced his effectiveness to a large degree. He's the man they've invested huge sums of money in, the man they're looking to inspire them on a night like this, to discomfort the Liverpool centre-backs. He wasn't able to do it, and that was down to the injury. Late in the game then, when it was beyond them, Noah Lang also sustained an unlucky but what looked a serious hand injury, and again, in innocuous fashion. They took some bad blows tonight beyond their control, and they'll reflect that that played a part as well, particularly the Osimhen injury early in the match. So they had some misfortune. The keeper played a blinder, even though they lost 4-0.
So Liverpool booking their place in the last eight, where they will play Paris, the defending champions. Let's take you to Germany then, where Bayern were 4-1 winners over Atalanta. 10-2 they won the tie in the end on aggregate, with a Harry Kane double helping them to that victory as well. He scored a penalty in the first half and then doubled that in the second. And he too, like Mo Salah, has scored his 50th Champions League goal, Kevin.
Yeah, and I think he's part of what I believe right now is the best attack in Europe. I think they are relentless. They're going to absolutely smash the Bundesliga's single-season scoring record. I'm pretty confident about that. Harry Kane, even though he's had a calf injury of late and has missed a few minutes, he could still break the single-season scoring record for Bayern in the Bundesliga, and his body of work in the Champions League is phenomenal. You look at him, you look at Luis Diaz, you look at Michael Olise, who was suspended for this one, you look at all the quality they have in midfield. And what I really admire about the job that Vincent Kompany has done, not just this season, but last season as well, is he has managed it. Bayern were always a team that were hungry. They were always a team that were quite ruthless. They've got that, but just even more now. Like, 3 goals isn't enough. 4 goals isn't enough. We'll keep going and going and going. Even if you've won the game, even if you've won the tie, they don't care. They just keep going. And that I really admire, because you know, I cover them a lot. I look at a lot of the interviews they give, and the same line runs through all of them, that they're not satisfied. It's never enough. And I think that's going to put them in a really good place in the back end of this competition.
I think they've got this collective winning mentality where the standards within the dressing room are set to an incredibly high level. And let's not forget, you've seen a player like Thomas Müller, who was so essential to the winning mindsets of the past, who's moved on, but it still remains within that group. The hunger is no less than it was. And Olise is the one. I know he didn't play tonight, but he's having a season for the ages. People are starting to talk about him as a potential Ballon d'Or winner. That's been the level of his play. Whether this might be his year in the Champions League, we will see. But they have star quality aligned with that winning mindset. It's powerful.
And they all push each other. That's the thing. They all set standards for each other. And that's really important, because peer pressure, in a way, can be a really positive thing. It's like, if I don't hit the level, you know, he might take my place, or he might not be very happy with me. And, you know, I've got to hit this every training session, every match. Atalanta are a good side. They are a team that, since Palladino went in there, have played really well domestically, have gone well in the Coppa Italia. You look at the progress they made under Gasperini before that, it's a proper team. And Bayern have beaten them with room to spare. So that just sends a message to the rest of Europe.
It certainly does. As a reminder, a 10-2 aggregate win then for Bayern, who will face Real Madrid in the quarterfinals. Harry Kane's been nursing a calf injury, started though this game. He was the player of the match, and he spoke about the challenge awaiting Bayern then in the next round.
Yeah, of course, it will be a tough game. I think whenever you play Real Madrid in the Champions League, you have to expect a tough opposition. You have to be ready for a fight. You have to be ready to, you know, try and play in a certain way. And we'll be ready for that. You know, we don't fear anyone. We know it'll be tough, but with the confidence from this and the confidence from the season so far, we just have to carry on doing what we're doing.
Harry Kane then with two goals to help Bayern to victory. Still to come, we're going to discuss how the last two spots in this season's quarterfinals were secured.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Barcelona and Newcastle were locked together at 1-1 after the first leg of their round of 16 tie in England last week. What would happen in the return leg at Camp Nou in tonight's early kickoff? Guy Mowbray and Andy Townsend were watching for UEFA.
Lovely take and turn from Lamine, getting it through to Rafinha. Firmin returns it. Rafinha takes his time. Rafinha fixes his spot. Advantage Barcelona, big time. Barnes holding his run. Paul will continue with his. Can he get it in early? He can. Anthony Elanga in on goal for Newcastle. And they're level. There's the chip. Newcastle have been beaten here. And Barcelona have their lead back. Marc Bernal couldn't miss from there. Lamine Yamal has played that straight to Lewis Hall. Now it's Harvey Barnes. Barnes gets it past Araujo. And Elanga has got another one for Newcastle. He's levelled it again.
Astonishing start to this game. 2-2. We haven't played half an hour yet.
Played across by Fermin Lopez. Rafinha thinks he's been fouled by Trippier. Penalty Barcelona. Lamine Yamal got the job done in Newcastle last week, so it's his turn again. And Yamal scores again. That was rifled. Swept forward for Fermin Lopez to run onto it. And Fermin puts the ball past Ramsdale. Barcelona have daylight and 1 foot in the quarters. Ramsdale has stayed back. Robert Lewandowski makes it a whole handful of goals for Barcelona. And they are now well and truly on their way. Lamine Yamal looking for Lewandowski. Lewandowski does not miss those chances. 6-2 Barca. It's Rafinha. It is a magnificent 7 for Barcelona.
So Barcelona won 7-2 against Newcastle on the night. 8-3 in the end on aggregate. And you heard there Lamine Yamal getting on the score sheet with a penalty just before half-time. That means he's equaled Kylian Mbappe's record for most Champions League goals scored before turning 19. That penalty then his 10th in the competition. And as for Barcelona, well, they have scored 7 goals in a Champions League game for the third time in their history, having previously achieved that in the round of 16 against Bayer Leverkusen in March of 2012 and also in the group stage against Celtic in September 2016. The thing with this tie, Kevin, is that it felt quite evenly contested in the first half. Second half, Barcelona just ramped things up.
Yeah, the key's the goal just before half-time. I think that's the one that really breaks Newcastle in the sense that they were then chasing the game, beautifully put away by Lamine Yamal, who is just a phenomenal operator because he doesn't just do it at club level, he's done it at international level. You know, he's won the European Championship with Spain and was a big part of that. He is fearless and he just... this level brings the best out of him. And you look at the way he played, Rafinha played, Lewandowski played, Pedri played. I really love Fermin and the way he plays as well. He understandably, because of some of the other guys around him, doesn't get talked about that much. He's developed, I would say, in the last year into being a top, top player. Because he's something they don't quite have. He's a box crasher. He makes those late runs and he's a super finisher. And look, there's no shame in losing to Barcelona. And I thought Newcastle for three halves of the tie were really competitive. But that can happen to any team against Barcelona.
I mean, they've lost by 5 goals over the 2 games, but they'll look back and think, yeah, we've played pretty well, and there were moments at which we could have turned this tie in our favour, notably in the first leg when they will feel that they might have had more than a one goal advantage, and Newcastle conceded that penalty right at the end of the game from which Barcelona got the equaliser, and then to score two goals in the Camp Nou away from home in the first half and still be trailing on the night, they'll be ruining that as well. I mean, it was in many respects a close tie that ended with Barcelona winning by five goals.
Talked about big picture with Galatasaray earlier on. I feel there's a little bit of that with Newcastle as well, because they've not got to this stage before. You know, they've got a battle to qualify for this for next season. That's going to be tough for them. But I think it's all about experience, and it's all about clubs feeling like they belong at a certain level, and they're showing they can compete.
Well, we heard about the history maker of Lamine Yamal. There's another achievement as well for Robert Lewandowski, as he became the oldest player to score in a Champions League match at the age of 37 years and 209 days. And what's more, he scored twice. Here's what the great man had to say after the game.
I'm very happy. I'm very proud of not only of myself, but also of the team, that how we played. And obviously, in defense, a little bit too easy that the Newcastle scored the goals. But in the end, if you score for seven goals, you can be very, very happy. But of course, we're trying to do our best. We tried also from the first minutes, attack well, trying to score goals. But Newcastle, I think, had tried to be on this level in the first half, second half, we saw it, okay, now it's our moment, we have to push in, we have to try to score the more goals, and we did, so we know that if we're playing our football, we can beat Newcastle, and looking forward.
That was Robert Lewandowski, and Barcelona will now face Atleti in the quarter-finals, and that's because they lost on the night to Tottenham 3-2, but won on aggregate by 7-5. If we just quickly, in the context of Tottenham, a spirited, entertaining performance under Igor Tudor.
As you say, spirited is the word. And not just spirited, they showed some quality. Xavi Simons, who I've watched a lot in Germany, Richard will have watched a lot of him as well in the Netherlands. There is a real player in there who we've seen glimpses of. This was a very Xavi performance, I thought, in the sense that really good goal from distance, put his penalty away well. He's a guy that, if you get him in the right areas, that kind of inside left channel where he likes to drift and do damage, if you can get him the ball there often enough, he can win a game for you. He's a really effective player, but they've had so many injuries this season, they just haven't been able to really get him going. But in the Champions League, as opposed to the Premier League, that's where he finds the space.
Yeah, a word for Atleti on another player I've seen quite a lot of, and that's David Hansko, the centre-half that they took from Feyenoord. He played very well under Arne Slot when they won the title a couple of seasons ago now. But no better compliment for a defender than being signed by Atletico Madrid. And he's more than that. He also is a leader off the field, a man who sets standards, a man who's comfortable playing in a wider position, running forward with the ball, and is a real threat in the opposition penalty area, as he proved tonight. So I think he's somebody who will come to even more prominence as this competition develops. I think he's a really top-class player.
They're a really interesting team, Atletico, because the old-school Simeone team that would nick a 1-0 away from home, that were incredibly strong defensively, they're like the Harlem Globetrotters now. You've got goals all over the place. And they'll, you know, Simeone grinning away at a 3-2 defeat. They've gone through, but in years gone by, he would have been furious at the three goals that had gone in. But I think he's realised that actually, if we're going to progress this team or we're going to win stuff, we have to learn how we can attack. And they're through to a Copa del Rey final. They'll be favourites for that against Real Sociedad. They're well placed in La Liga. And they've beaten Barcelona already in a Copa del Rey semi-final, and that was recent. So that's going to be fascinating to see how that goes, because the dynamic of that Copa del Rey semi was they won the first leg 4-0 at the Metropolitano, came back to Camp Nou and lost 3-0, but saw it through. They'll take a lot from that.
And Julian Alvarez had a really important night this evening for Atleti, scoring as well as assisting in the game. So we now have our eight quarterfinalists for this year's UEFA Champions League. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45, that's CEST, on Tuesday, 7th of April, to bring you all the action as those ties get underway. Here are the all-important matchups. It will be Real Madrid then against Bayern, Barcelona taking on Atleti, Sporting face Arsenal, and it's Paris against Liverpool. And those two sides, of course, met in the round of 16 last year. Paris were triumphant on their way to winning it, but Reds coach Arne Slot is looking forward to the rematch.
Last season when we lost against them, we were completely outplayed away from home. I think we played a great game here at Anfield. In the end, we lost on penalties, and to be fair, they haven't dropped their standards. It was hardly possible for them to improve, but they've been very impressive till now. But I think after tonight, after seeing our performance tonight, they won't be that happy to play against us, especially because also last season we were the only team that could bring them to extra time and to penalties.
So that was Arne Slot in jovial mood, it has to be said, and you can't blame him. But we've got a fascinating quarterfinal lineup, of course we have. Any particular ties stand out for you, Richard?
Well, I mean, I called the first leg of Paris against Liverpool last season when Liverpool won in the Parc des Princes. But I thought from that moment on, I genuinely did think that Paris had a chance of winning the competition. They were that good that night. So they really lifted off in the second half of last season. And they'll enter this tie, this time around, as favourites, which wasn't the case 12 months and a little bit ago in the round of 16. So it will be a slightly different dynamic. Whether that gives Liverpool any more freedom, I don't know. Paris will go into that one rightly as favourites, but that's where I was thinking of in the looking at the bracket straight away.
Real Madrid, Bayern's a belter, because the narrative I know right now will be in German media about Real Madrid's record against Bayern, because it's excellent. And you know, they had that run under Thomas Tuchel, which had gone really well, and the year that Real Madrid won it at Wembley against Dortmund, Bayern nearly knocked them out. And it was only Hosselu that managed to turn that in Real Madrid's favour right at the end. And they'd competed brilliantly, I thought. They've taken big strides, I think, since then. Real Madrid, I admire what they've done against Benfica and then against Manchester City. I think Vinicius Junior is in a really good place right now in terms of his performance levels. So I think that's a brilliant tie. I think we are going to get goals in that tie, no doubt about it.
And the all-Spanish tie between Barcelona and Atleti is intriguing, especially when you consider Barcelona have only lost once at home all season in all competitions, and that came against Paris.
Well, I think, you know, and that was probably the best European performance I've seen this season, actually, that Paris performance in Barcelona. But for that Copa del Rey semi-final that I mentioned, that gives you that narrative and that recent history. So actually, over the two legs, there might not be that much between them. It's a big test for Atleti, because I think in recent years, it's been, right, we're at this level, but we get knocked out by Real Madrid or Barcelona in stuff. But now they've actually changed that narrative a bit. They've knocked Barcelona out of something big. So they'll think, OK, well, we've done that. We can do it again. So that is a really fascinating tie. Sporting Arsenal, by the way, is really interesting, because I think Bodø/Glimt, you won't find a bigger fan of them than me. But I actually think they'd have found that matchup against Arsenal tough for a variety of reasons, because I think their counter-attack game wouldn't work against Arsenal the way they set up. Sporting a bit different. And I think at the Alvalade, they could do some real damage. So Arsenal are going to have to absolutely be on it over those two legs. And the fact that the first leg, you know, away, that's going to be really interesting, I think.
Victor Gyökeres going back to his former club in the quarterfinals, yeah.
The Gyökeres Classica.
Sums it up perfectly, really, doesn't it? That is all we have got time for after another UEFA Champions League night that delivered so many talking points. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45pm CEST on Tuesday, the 7th of April, as the quarterfinals of this year's competition get underway. And what a set of quarterfinals we have in store. Paris against Liverpool, Real Madrid against Bayern, Barcelona Atleti, and Sporting versus Arsenal as well. A reminder, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. My thanks to Kevin and to Richard for their company this evening. But for now, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.